I'd like to begin over in the 7th chapter of Proverbs this morning. And we will not read this whole passage. I believe this is a good passage for families to read from time to time, not only for the young men, but I believe it's good for the young ladies as well. And I'm going to start with something very practical this morning, and we're going to get a spiritual application. But I'm going to start speaking very practically. There's a warning given, especially to young men, in the 7th chapter of Proverbs. I'm just going to read down through a few verses. Begin reading with verse 5, the 7th chapter. Solomon said that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Now, he was instructing to say unto wisdom, verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. In other words, be closely connected with understanding. Be closely connected with wisdom. And it said that thou may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And then he began to paint a picture. And he said, I be at the window of my house, I look through the casement. It's like someone looking out the window and looking down on the street, observing something happening. And it said, behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and the dark night, behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, and her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. It says she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day. In other words, I've been to worship the Lord. I have peace offerings. And that's what it talks about. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I found thee. And as you read on down, she said in verse 19, the goodman is not at home. In other words, my husband's not home. So he said he's gone on a long journey. Verse 21, it said, with her much fair speech she caused him to yield, and the flattering of her lips she forced him. And he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. In verse 24, it says, hearken to me now, therefore, children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. Verse 27 says, her house, well, 26 says, she's cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Many strong men. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chamber of death. You get a little picture that was painted here. He was talking about a young man. Had desires. Young man had desires. He had dreams. He had plans. Things looked good. Life looked good to him. But it said he was void of understanding. You young people and children, listen now. There are things out in the world that are going to look appealing to the flesh. Well, think this is something I would enjoy doing that. And that would feel good. And I'd like to go there. And I'd like to listen to that. And I'd like to take counsel of your elders. Take counsel, because there's a path that looks good on the surface, but the end will take you straight to hell. He was talking about a young man that was void of understanding, and there was a woman that was older than he was. You understand this? This is a woman of experience. It was a married woman. And she saw this young man, and she enticed him to go down to her home because her husband was gone. My husband's gone, and he's gone on a long journey. And she enticed him. And when she came, and it said that she kissed him, you study the Greek there, and it bears out, this woman was friendly. She was being friendly and attentive. Do you know people like someone to be attentive to them? Everybody likes to feel accepted. Is that right? That was mentioned this morning in Sunday school. Everybody likes to feel like you're a part. And everybody likes to feel special. This woman made this young man feel special. I'm taking time with you, and she was friendly, but she had an ulterior motive. She was going to be unfaithful to her husband. She was not going to keep her vows to her husband. And not only was it her sin, she was going to cause someone else to commit sin as well. And it said she had fair speech. This woman was not one that was unappealing. She was dressed in a manner to be attractive. She was dressed in a manner to look at her and say, she looks good. And you know what? She smelled good. If you would allow me to extrapolate from the scripture just a little bit. She looked good and she smelled good and she presented herself well. She was attractive. And there was a draw there. Do you know the problem with the young man wasn't that he noticed and said, oh, there was a draw there, but it was that he was enticed by that. When he looked at that woman, he should have looked at her and said, she doesn't have any good thing in her mind and she's going to take me down a road that leads to hell. But instead, he listened to her. First problem was he listened to her. He took time to talk with a harlot. First problem. What should have he done? He should have run. He shouldn't have taken time. I remember one time there I was somewhere and there were people just like this out on the road. And I remember one of them running down the road after my vehicle. They were calling out and chasing. It was like, get me out of here. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to take time to even see what they want because I knew where the pathway led. That's the first problem. When you deal with purity, folks, young people, children, keep yourself pure from the defilement of the flesh. Don't even go down. Don't even open the door to it and say, I'm not going to commit sin, but I'm going to just dabble a little bit. I'm just interested in knowing what's going on. This woman was married. She had a husband. She should have kept her vows. But instead, she committed adultery and fornication. Fornication being a sexual sin. And she brought someone else along with her. And the young man, in his mind, he had life ahead of him. But he polluted himself. He violated his own, the purity of what God had given to him. He violated it. And you know, there would be forgiveness for that, but it was something that can never be replaced. Something that could never be replaced. I want to read to you a passage now out of 1 Chronicles, and we're going to start looking at some spiritual application. But the practical application of this is important. A woman, young men, and I'll say the young ladies, a young man, someone that makes you feel good about yourself, and you know where it's going to lead you to a place that breaks a commandment of the Lord. Don't take the time. Don't entertain it. Don't give it a second thought. But put distance. Put distance. I remember my grandfather. He was a single man and for most of the years of his life. And said there were times he physically had to get up and almost run from situations because he was going to keep his vows to God. There are times in life when you're presented with temptation because it makes me feel special. You recognize when you are in a condition of vulnerability, the enemy is going to bring something along to make you feel special. Just count on it. And when you start feeling, oh, I'm accepted and I know I've got family, but this person makes me feel special, beware because the enemy is a lot of times going to be behind that thing to take you down a path that leads you directly to hell. All right, let's turn to 1 Chronicles and get another passage of Scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, beginning with verse 25. Said they transgressed against the God of their father. Speaking about the Israelites. They transgressed against the God of their fathers and went a-whoring. Now this is exactly what this young man did, see? This young man went out and he was void of understanding. The point is this. He didn't know what all the result of his actions were going to be. He was just thinking, this is just, I'm gonna do this for one night. I'm gonna commit sin, but then I'm gonna be true and I'm gonna keep my life together. Folks, you go down the road to hell and you let the devil's gonna get an inroad in your life and it's gonna start affecting everything in your life. All of your decisions, the good relationships that you have with family and friends and people is going to start being violated because you opened up a door that should have never been opened. And so it said, the children of Israel, they went a-whoring. In other words, you know what a harlot is? A harlot is someone that is impure. And in this situation, in Proverbs, it was someone that was married. In other words, she was not being faithful to her vows. The children of Israel were not being faithful to the Lord God of Israel. And so let's see what it said. They went a-whoring after the gods of other people of the land whom God destroyed before them. In other words, the analogy here is not just the physical fornication or adultery. But I want to repeat and reiterate to all of us that you know it, but I want to repeat it. Adultery and fornication leads directly to hell. There is no excuse for it. There's no room for it. It's wrong, and it's something that violates the body. It's more egregious than even telling a lie in other things. The Scripture teaches it's a violation against your own body to do those things. The children of Israel here, they went a-whoring after other gods. What it meant was this. Instead of being faithful to the Lord, they begin to imbibe in practices of other gods, idols. They begin to worship them and they incline their heart. They let their affections go out to other gods instead of being faithful to the true God. Symbolically, in the Scripture, a woman, and that's what I want to talk about, a woman. We've talked about one of the women, haven't we, this morning? One that was a harlot. She had a motive. She had a purpose. She had a desire. But remember, this harlot woman looked good, smelled good, talked nice, and makes you feel special. Children of Israel went after other gods, and they weren't faithful. I'd like to read to you out of the 17th chapter of Revelation. This may not be a message you feel like, at least this first part. You may not feel like you're jumping over the next bench, but I want to tell you it's important that we get this truth this morning. In the 17th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 1, we have a picture of another woman, of a harlot. He said, and we'll begin reading the middle of the first verse. He said, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore. Now, a whore is a harlot. Someone that is being unfaithful. Someone that is violating her purity. Said, I will show you the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. They've been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away. This is the vision that John had. He carried me away into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head there was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. You can read on down. We don't have time to spend in all of the symbolism of what we read here. But this woman that was dressed as a harlot, she represented the church, a false church. She represented the apostate church. People just like the Israelites, it said they went a-whoring. In other words, they went and they violated their vows. They weren't staying true to God. And they went looking after someone else. So the picture is of the apostate church, and I will say symbolically it clearly represents Roman Catholicism that was compromised the purity of the truth that was taught in the early morning church. They took the truth of the Word and it was perverted. Let me give you one example. Who's the head of the church? Christ is the head of the church. Do you know the true body of Christ is the bride? It's how the Bible refers to it, that we are the bride of Christ. But if you have a picture, symbolically, a woman represents a church, in symbolically in Revelation. So if you have a woman that's clothed like a harlot, she's a harlot. And if you have a woman that's dressed nicely and pure and godly, that represents the true church of God. Represents God's people, the bride of Christ that's chaste, that's a virgin, that's clean and pure and holy. Well, here we have a picture of a harlot. And it represents what the Roman Catholic Church, you ask them who the head of the church is, will they say Jesus? No, the Pope is the head of the church. He even has on his sign, on his mitre written vicar of the Son of God. In other words, he's a replacement of Christ on earth. It is a practical thing for us this morning that Christ is the head of the church. There is no man, there is no ministry, there is no fellowship of people that can vote something in to make it truth. The truth is right here. We have no creed other than the Word of God. Any organization, any other religion that has a written creed other than the Word of God has violated their integrity with God. Because they begin to give their allegiance to the ministers voted on this. We can vote all day long, it doesn't change truth. Christ is the head of the body. Christ is the head of the church. And that is who we are called to be faithful to this morning. This woman was a harlot because she was unfaithful to her husband, Jesus Christ. She was unfaithful here. In the 17th chapter of Revelation, she had perverted truth. She had denied the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are a lot of religions today. There are a lot of Christian churches today that are professing Christ, but they're not teaching the whole Word of God. Do you know what that is? They have put their own desires and their own will before the purity of God's will. That's exactly what he's talking about in the 17th chapter of Revelation. He called her a harlot. Because you weren't faithful. Any church that teaches that you sin more or less every day, folks, it's not something to dabble with. You know what a harlot does? She makes you feel special. She looks good. She smells good. She's enticing. You know that's what Babylon is. Babylon is confusion. It's confusion from the purity of the truth. And that is what sectism, that's what Babylon does today. They make you feel accepted. They make you feel welcome, and it looks good on the surface. You can see, well, there's this good thing, and this is good about it. I want us to understand something. There are good people in false religions today. People can be saved anywhere under any system if they repent of their sin and turn away from their sin. They can be saved. And they're part of the bride of Christ, whether they know it or not. But I want us to understand something. You join yourself with a harlot, it's going to take you down to a path of hell, because somewhere along the line, you're going to either have to accept that I'll just accept the false doctrine, or I'm going to say I can't be a partaker, and I'm going to have to come out, as it says in the next chapter, in the 18th chapter, to come out of Babylon, to separate myself from her impurity, lest I be a partaker of her sin. It's not an indictment against good people. It's not an indictment against people that you can meet, that maybe they say, oh, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Lutheran, or I'm this. If they have repented of their sins and are living free from sin through the blood of Jesus, they're part of the bride of Christ. But when you look on this system that they're a part of, it's still a harlot. It's a system that has a creed other than the Word of God, that has a head other than God, that is being led, as Brother Cook says often, by committee and by election, rather than having the Spirit of the Lord put members in the body. So the system is bankrupt. The system is a harlot. And you go down that path and it will lead to the way of hell. I want to warn all of us this morning. We live in a time, you don't hear a lot of preaching like this anymore. But people say it's okay, we're all trying to get to heaven. I want to warn you, it's the simple and the unlearned and the ignorant that say, oh, it looks attractive. Instead of coming to service and there's 5 of us or 20 of us, you can go and there's a lot of people and there's a lot of programs and they make me feel special about myself. Folks, you can feel special in your sin all you want, but there's still one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's through living free from sin. If you're going to commit adultery, if you're going to commit spiritual fornication, it leads to the road to hell. Because somewhere you're going to make a decision when the Lord whispers to you and say, that's not right. And you know in your spirit that it's not quite right, but these are good people and I like the pastor here and oh, I've been involved and I don't want to leave. I'm faced with a decision. What am I going to do? You go down the way of the harlot, folks, it leads to hell. Entertainment. Do you know that the religious world is rife with entertainment? You know why sometimes people that leave God's people, and when I say leave God's people, they're leaving God, okay? I want to be clear about something. I told you last Wednesday, my allegiance is to God. My allegiance is to God. If you all pervert the truth, I'm not going to be here anymore. All right? You won't want me here anyway. But I will not bow down and submit to this philosophy that is rampant around us that, you know what, it's okay. What the Bible teaches, when it starts being prevalent, the people to get up among us and start acting like it's all right to be immodest. It's okay to go here. It's okay to wear jewelry. It's okay to take and tell lies and understand and be sympathetic to that. I'm not going there this morning. And because you begin to align yourself with that, it's the system that's wrong. There are good people that do bad things. There are wonderful people that don't have understanding. They may be part of the bride of Christ. But when you know what God requires, that's when you're responsible. So if I then accept this philosophy that anybody can live however they want and it's okay, I'm going to get in trouble with God. And we will no longer be the bride of Christ just because we say Church of God out on the door. Just because we say we're Church of God doesn't mean we're the bride of Christ. It depends on how we live. It depends on our spirit. And I can have all the truth, but if my spirit's not right, am I really the bride of Christ? No, a loving, humble, gentle, caring spirit. That's the spirit of God. So see, all of this is coupled together. I know many times in the past, people that preached this message, they had to come back and apologize for their attitude. In the Reformation time, after the split in the 1910, 1913, some of those ministers went back and apologized because it wasn't coupled with the right spirit. But I want us to understand there is a place this morning that if we go down the road of what looks good, I'm not going to sugarcoat it or minimize it. If we join ourselves with a harlot, it's going to take us down the wrong road. I don't want to be part of that harlot this morning. I don't want to be that harlot. I do not want to commit spiritual fornication. I don't want to commit spiritual adultery. Do you all understand what I'm saying this morning? Spiritual adultery. Violating what the Bible teaches for the purpose of feeling good about myself. And so I walk away from where truth is preached. Now listen, this gets down close to home probably for all of us. Get down someone I have family members, I have friends, people I love. Keep loving them. But they don't want to come to church anymore where the truth is preached. And so they start dabbling with a harlot and we act sympathetic to it? No. No, he said the scripture says you come out from that. Well, I'm just going to go to church with them. And you know, these are good people and they're doing better than they could be. Come out of her. Because what happens is you start getting sympathetic to it. And yeah, you start seeing it does smell good. Harlots do smell good. They look attractive. That's what makes them what they are. That's what Babylon does. But I'm not talking about you have to measure to my standard this morning. None of you measure to mine. I'm saying you measure to what the Word of God teaches. This is the bride. This is the bride if we do what the Word of God teaches. How can we be sympathetic to a young man void of understanding going down the road to hell? You understand the problem? Because we get family members involved and all of a sudden we're excusing sin? We're excusing adultery and fornication and dishonesty, and we excuse that. Next thing, we excuse people going out and committing spiritual adultery and fornication with a system that has polluted true serving God, the trueness of holiness and purity. And we say, well, they're all good people, so I'm just glad they're going to church. I'm not. Because of all of those churches, we're not there. There's one place to go, and it's where they can hear the truth. So that's been the enemy's inroad from people making them feel good about themselves, is you can still profess Christ and you can still sin. We can all still go to church, and I'm a good Christian person. I don't live just like you do, and I don't see it the way you do. And I'm going to church. What church are you going to? Let's forget about the name for a moment. What do they teach? They're making you feel like you're a good Christian, and there's sin all in the life. Do you not see a problem with sectism then? Do you not see a problem where there's spiritual adultery, spiritual fornication going on every hand in our world today? Folk, people say a come out message isn't important anymore. It is still relevant today. Come out to what? You don't have to come in these four walls. You go be the church of God. You go be the bride of Christ. You go live like God wants you to. But don't go down the path with the harlot, because she'll win you over. You're going to have a moment of weakness, and guess what? In a moment of weakness, when you're tempted, it's when you fall. Don't entertain her. Don't entertain her. Don't mix and mingle. He said, come out. There is a judgment placed against spiritual whoredom. And that's my message this morning. It's against spiritual whoredom. But I want to say, have you ever seen someone fixing to get married, young man, and you start talking about his bride-to-be and see that twinkle in his eye? This really ought to be part two. I'm going to talk about a woman that I'm in love with this morning. You know, we can talk about the harlot and spiritual adultery, but I want to speak briefly about a woman that I'm in love with this morning. It still brings a twinkle in my eye. If you don't see it in my eye, it's in my heart. You see someone that finds the love of their life, oh, the harlot, I don't want to go down that road. I want someone that's pure. I want someone that's chaste. I want someone that loves me. I want someone that will die for me. You think that woman will die for that young man? No, listen, here's another analogy. He said, the good man of the house is gone. My husband's gone. You know what that sounds like? Jesus isn't coming back right now. We can come to church and we can bring in the piano and the drum set, and we can have the puppet shows, and we can have the Super Bowl on Sundays and put it on big screen, and we can get the crowds in. But what's it going to do for your soul? What's it going to do for your soul? She's perverted herself to win the crowds. And that's what looks so attractive. Sometimes you may look, you children, listen now. You may say, well, there's just a few of us at church. You kind of come and, you know, just a few of us feel a little ashamed. I want you to understand, you don't need to be ashamed of truth. You don't need to be ashamed of truth. If I start spouting opinions, you ask me about it. You older ones come to me in love and say, Brother Michael, you're not preaching the truth anymore. And I'll either change or get out of your hair. But when it's the Word of God, then we can say, Lord, that's what I want, because this is the way that leads to life this morning. This is the truth. This is the way that will keep us and protect us. And how can I be protected from religions around here unless I recognize a whore when I see her? How can I not know it if I don't recognize someone that is perverted? Again, you children, listen. It doesn't mean you meet someone, they say, well, I go to this church, they say, oh, they're bad. No, absolutely not. If they love the Lord and they're living free from sin, they're part of the church of God, whether they know it or not. But I'm talking about the system. The system of religion is bankrupt. It's brought confusion. And the devil has done more with false Christian churches than he ever did through persecuting the saints of God. See, it's messed with people's minds and it ends up messing with their hearts. There is another woman, though, that I want to read to you about in the 12th chapter of Revelation. John the Revelator had another vision. We're going to just read that first verse. He said, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. This was a glorious vision of a woman in the firmament of heaven, resplendent in the illustrious light of the sun. And she stood there and she was arrayed with the sun. It was in contrast to the apostate church. Now see, remember, a woman represents a church symbolically, whether it's true or false. So you have to start looking at her characteristics. This is not one that is decked and made up, decked with jewels and made up. This is a woman that was pure and clean. She was had light around her. Woman clothed with the sun. Sun. What is sun? It's light. But let's start with the moon. It said the moon was under her feet. What is the moon representative of? Do you know how much light the moon has? None. The moon is only a reflection of a very small percentage of the light of the sun. I read one place it was 7%. Other source that I looked at said even a lot smaller than that. It's only a reflection of a small part of the sun. The moon then is an apt symbol of the Old Testament church. Those living under the Mosaic law, the scripture says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the old law, it was just a reflection of something better to come. It's not opinion. I'll back it up with scripture. Hebrews 10 verse 1, and the law having a shadow of things to come. It pointed forward to something better. It pointed forward. Well, the moon was that Old Testament church. And that's what gave rise to the New Testament church, isn't it? And then grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The sun is the source of natural light in our solar system. But what does light do? Light penetrates darkness. Light illuminates. Light reveals. Why did Jesus say men love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds are evil. So put me with a harlot. Put me with a church that's not going to preach the whole truth so I can keep darkness in my spirit and still feel good about myself. I can still say I'm a Christian, and you look at people and think, how are you like Christ when you're living like that? Well, my pastor said, folks, it doesn't matter what your pastor says, and that means me too, unless it's based on the Word of God. This is where the authority comes. So you don't say, well, the brethren voted on it 120 years ago, or this is a tradition among us, and that's the reason we do it. We better go deeper than that. We better be able to come back and say, thus saith the Word of God. I want my garments to be pure this morning. I want to be clothed with the sun. I don't want man's opinions and votes to taint the truth of God's Word. I want to be able to always come back down and say, the Spirit of God is leading. The Spirit of God is moving. This is what the Word says. When you come to church here, what's going to be preached? By the grace of God, it's going to be this right here. And if ever begins something, if I ever have to go and say the ministers voted something, we're changing it now. You better say, Brother Michael, I want the purity of the Word. Well, they're good ministers. I don't care how good they are. I don't want to go the way of Babylon. And Babylon starts, we start apostating. We start departing from truth. When we start putting more value on a ministerial vote than we do what the Word of God says. Truth superseded. The truth of the New Testament church superseded the obscure light of the Old Testament. It said this woman had a crown of stars. What does a crown represent? Crown's authority. Reigning power. What does the church do? Reigning over sin in this life. Reigning over all the power of the enemy. Folks, that's what the bride of Christ is. It is individuals. It's individuals that are living according to what the Bible says across every, it's across the world of every culture, of every background, of every history. Someone comes along and says, well, when did you join the church? Oh, I joined the church. I wasn't born into it because through my parents, I had a spiritual birth. That's when I came into the church. That's when I became part of the bride of Christ. It wasn't because I was raised this way. You children, young people, you're not part of God's church or the bride of Christ until your life has been transformed by the blood of Jesus. And when it's been transformed, you come into this, and I don't ever want to give my allegiance to a harlot. I don't want to ever give my allegiance to man rule. I don't want to ever give my allegiance when someone says, well, that's really the unspoken head of the church. It's going to start making me look at it a little bit harder. I want God still to be my head, and I want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and I want everything that we teach and preach to be according to God's Word. That's the bride of Christ this morning. That crown of 12 stars you can read in Revelation 1 and 20, it gives us the definition. It says a star is an angel. And an angel is a message bearer. He was speaking of the ministry. The ministers who took the gospel, who took the light to a lost world. And the 12 most prominent first in the early morning church would have been the 12 apostles. They were the ones that were commissioned with getting this gospel out. And so this woman here in the 12th chapter, there's a vision there of the true church of God, God's people, the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, we're going to wrap this up. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. Let's read. He said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Folks, this is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to present us as a chaste virgin, that we're pure. I have not committed spiritual adultery. I haven't committed spiritual fornication, but my allegiance is to God. My allegiance is to truth. Someone says, "Well, where's your headquarters?" Our headquarters is not Guthrie, Oklahoma. Well, yeah, but it's not. Not the church I'm in. The headquarters, thank God, is in heaven. Where's the membership book? It's in heaven. That's where the roll book is. This is something, it's about a relationship between you and God. Have people so suspicious of joining another group. And I know some would have advised them differently. I said, you don't have to join anybody. You be the church of God in your locale. You be the people God wants you to be. And through time, it will break down the walls and barriers of suspicion that our hearts can start to be blent together, not because of a backroom meeting, but because of a common faith and a common spirit. That's the bride of Christ. A chaste virgin to Christ. Folks, churches and religions are committing spiritual adultery, fornicating themselves with the things of this world, endorsing sinful philosophies and practices. We see that happening all the time in Christian religion around us. What does the Word of God say? Yes, but there's a lot of people it affects. And you know what they told me in Pakistan? Told me in Pakistan, you think there's Christians there that are being persecuted. And one of the ministers there told me, he said, "You're not preaching or teaching like the other missionaries that come here." It's like, okay, I wasn't sure whether to take that as a compliment or not. And I said, "What do the other missionaries teach when they come to Pakistan?" And he said, "All they tell the people is Jesus loves you. Keep living like you're living. Stay in your sin, but know there's a God that loves you." Folks, I serve a God that loved me so much, He came to raise me up from my sin and change my nature because of His Spirit. That's what the Lord came to do. That's the bride of Christ. He loves me, but His love was powerful enough to bring about a change in my life. Church of God is a chaste virgin. It's desire, the Lord's desire this morning, that He have a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Folks, get the twinkle in your eye. You start thinking about the church, the bride of Christ. I trust it causes your heart to rejoice because it's true and because it's right. Conclude with one more scripture in 1 Corinthians 6. "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid." What? "Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two," he said, "shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Be careful this morning about joining yourself with a harlot. And you may say, "Brother Michael, I'm not joining myself, but I'm just, you know, it looks good, and there ought to be a judgment against adultery." Is that right? Do we still believe that this morning? Do we still believe that it's sin? It's still sin. It takes you to hell. So is spiritual adultery. Be careful about being sympathetic. You may say, "I'm not going to go there," or "I'm not going to do that." But you know what? We're all good people.
It's not the name on the church that does it. But I want you to remember something. There ought to be a judgment against spiritual adultery. So let's maintain the judgment, but not just focusing on the what we are, but I want us to focus on what we are to be, that God is our head, the Spirit is our leader, God is our judge, He is our lawgiver, Jesus is the one that saves us, this is our creed, this is our rule of faith, and I want to remain until the goodman of the house comes back. Until Jesus comes back, I want to keep my robes pure without spot or wrinkle, that He would be pleased to say, these are my people.